The Sports Cage on Demand is brought to you by the Canadian Brewhouse, with the best food and drink specials and the most TVs for your favorite sports.
Loved it. The guys I talked to did.
Yeah, absolutely. Speaking from experience as a former lineman, those big guys, we don't do well in the heat. It's nice to get the cool days. I'll tell you what, you never get tired in the cool. You get hurt. You hurt when it's hot out.
Well, we're working our way through this training camp. I don't know if you're ready to go home yet or not. You've been doing a lot of work up here in Saskatoon, aside from the radio gig. I'm just enjoying myself, along for the ride. I'm not,
that must be nice, huh?
I'm not entirely sure that I'm ready to go back home just yet.
Stupid waves.
Yeah. We are ready to talk football today. We're going to, in mere moments, be going to Toronto. Rogers Center specifically, Arash Madani is there as the Blue Jays open a series with the Tampa Bay Rays, division rivals tonight. And coming up on the program today, quarterback Marquise Williams, who has some interesting comments about Darian Durant. We will be hearing from kicker Quinn Van Gilswick and the voice of the Saskatoon Blades, Les Lazarick. That's all coming up. And a very special night tonight. I know you're busy, you've got work, but you are going to join me, and I'll only mention it one time. For sponsorship purposes, we've been invited to the VIP event at Taco Bell. Taco Bell. There, I mentioned it twice, but
yeah, you did.
Thank you to Nora and the good folks there at that fine restaurant. You can follow my social media feeds to follow our feed down at that restaurant on 8th Street tonight, so thanks for that. Now, you on this strict diet, of course, you said you're just coming along as arm candy.
Yeah, I'm just going to say hello, wish them well. I might have something, though. I mean, it's hard to turn down Taco Bell, considering it's not in Regina as well. So,
from what I can understand, all you can eat, too. So,
Now I'm definitely coming.
Yeah. So, hey, this is just the way we've been treated by Saskatoon here over the past several weeks. But we're getting ready for Vancouver on Friday night. And just before we get Arash on the line, which will be in like a minute or so, day 17 today at SMF Field, what were your takeaways?
Up and down again. Periods where the offense, I think, lost a little bit of focus. Periods where the defense lost a little bit of focus. You can tell the anticipation is building for the competition in BC. It's one of those times where guys start to understand where they might fall in the depth chart or what their role may be heading into the 2017 season, or if they even have one. We talked about it on the podcast we did today. It's also a time where American players, for the first time in the CFL, start realizing how the ratio actually really works against them. And there's a lot of questions. There's a lot of anxiety about the positions they play, who's playing in front of them, who's playing behind them, whether it's a Canadian, and they don't understand. So there's a lot of mixed emotions going into this game, obviously, because you're excited that you're going to compete, but at the same time, you're in a tough spot because there are different thoughts now creeping into your mind. Depth chart, ratio. I'll tell you what, every single camp I've been in, there's always been those few Americans that, like, literally sit there asking questions all night, especially headed into that second exhibition game. Well, how does it affect me? How does it? You mean to tell me somebody I'm better than is going to make the team? Over me because of their past, things like that. So, but you got to fight to keep focused. That's the most important thing. This is a big evaluation time coming up, but the reps that are in front of you are still as important. So don't miss out on those bars of gold if you're a player.
Well, we're going to Rogers Center now. Sportsnet's Arash Madani is there. And Arash, you are listening in. You hear where we are at on day 17 of training camp up in Saskatoon.
Yeah, I certainly did. And I heard what Luke was saying. And I can share this. I'm sure, Luke, you can relate. I remember when I was working with Winnipeg, it was the night of the second preseason game when it was all over. And myself and three of the guys who were Canadian, three Canadian vets, went out for a milkshake and a soda pop. And of the three guys sitting there, they knew one of them just couldn't make the roster. It was a numbers game. They had a couple of young Canadian kids. They knew sitting there that one of them wouldn't be on that team by noon the next day. And it was one of the more uneasy, angst situations because everybody knew the situation. Each of those guys was on the roster bubble. And basically what it came down to was who was going to give the football team more special teams depth and more special teams reps. And that guy, those two guys who did the most made the team, and it's the more you can do. The third guy out didn't, and as a result, he was on the street.
We got a lot of football to get to today, Arash, but I know our listeners always love checking in on the Blue Jays. So the Rays are in town tonight. The Jays, I'm sure, happy to be back home. Their fans happy to have them back home. What are the storylines going into this midweek series with Tampa?
Well, the big one right off the hop is that it's not good for Devin Travis. Roddy, you may remember last week in Oakland, Travis had a knee issue, went to see a specialist in New York today, had a scope, deflation it's called. And he's likely going to be out for a few months, if not the whole season. So the Blue Jays second baseman, you know, they found no damage other than a bone bruise that didn't require repair. But he's on crutches right now. They have to limit the swelling, then get the range of motion back, then get the strength back, even before he gets into baseball activities. So that's the news of the day on the Blue Jays front. Beyond that, it's Marco Estrada who starts. Marco's had a tough go in first inning before he settled down. But his changeup's been his bread and butter. And in 11 innings this year against the Rays, he's given up 5 home runs and 4 off his changeup, which is his, you know, signature pitch. So it'll be interesting to see if he can get that sorted here here tonight.
You know, I thought the Jays were getting it turned around. Their long ball is the story. 5 home runs in Seattle on the weekend, but I checked the standings. 8 back of the Yankees. Has New York caught fire, or... it seemed like just not that long ago we were talking they were 5 out and getting positive about themselves.
Yeah, well, the Blue Jays are kind of hovering. They win tonight. They're 500 for the first time this season. And that's after a 2-11 start. The Yankees are on a tear. Aaron Judge is absolutely crushing it right now. He's putting up, now granted, you know, it's very early in his career and season, but when you look at Babe Ruth's best season and Roger Maris's best season through 62 games with 100 to play, Aaron Judge's numbers are identical this season to what those guys did there. So that's the kind of start that dude had in New York. Cesar Sabathia has an expiring contract, a $161 million expiring contract. So he's playing for a job and he's pitching lights out. So the Blue Jays, listen, they have to take care of their division game. Starts with Tampa tonight, there's no question. But, Roddy, from the hop, when they got into that drought, I told you if they can be a game or two above 500 by Canada Day, they're going to put themselves in a position where for the stretch run of the season, they'll be right in the conversation. They're close to that right now. And so much of what's going to happen is going to center on winning division games, and that's going to be real important for them.
We're just over 2 months into the new season, and I was going to ask you in the back of my mind, what's been the story in the majors? But I guess it is the Yankees' Aaron Judge. That's it, isn't it?
Yeah, it absolutely is.
It's like Julius Peppers with a baseball bat.
Oh, man. And, Luke, I think I told you guys before when we were in New York, the sound that ball makes coming off that bat in batting practice, it's incredible. I mean, this dude is a monster. And he's handling himself the right way. The Yankees were supposed to be a year away. Now, look, there's still 100 games to go, guys. You know, there's a lot of baseball left to be played. But they've become a real story in the big leagues this season, there's no question.
Hey, before we let you go and get back to the Sportsnet broadcast, any takes on the CFL here as we close out training camps?
Well, I'm intrigued to see what the Riders are going to do with Vince Young. I mean, so much of it is going to be an optics decision if they keep him. But, I mean, listen, Vince tried to make a comeback. He tore his hamstring. What's the upside in keeping him around at this point? You know, I don't see much of one. I'm interested to see at a time where Bear Woods was released in Montreal. Javon Johnson appears to be on the bubble there. Will he break camp with the team? And if not, what's the interest in a 33-year-old veteran defensive back? You know, may he have a job moving forward? I saw Cordero Law in Calgary. He's likely done for the season, you know, with that cracked ankle. Calgary always reloads with a lot of youth, but that's a veteran pass rush that the Stampeders have. And I'm intrigued to see how that you know, how that personnel group kind of evolved. So, you know, at this point, we're getting into the minutia, but it's day 17 of camp, and it's game two of preseason. We're getting to the nitty-gritty in terms of roster maneuvering here. So I'm intrigued to see how some of that kind of shakes down as we get to the last 2 days of two-a-days.
Well, I don't know if you noticed the Bodog odds came out. Calgary, BC, and Edmonton are the top three favorite teams to win the Grey Cup. That's not good news for the Rough Riders. The top three championship favorites reside in your division.
Yeah, and the funny part about that is the defending champs aren't even a top three team by the odds
yeah.
makers. You know, so it's no surprise that, you know, Toronto, Hamilton, Montreal aren't in the discussion. But definitely, I'm a little shocked that Ottawa wouldn't be there.
And you're a big hoops guy, Arash. I'm sure you watched Game 6 last night. I guess LeBron came out today and said these Warriors are going to be around for a long time. Your take on the finals series, if you don't mind.
Yeah, and I think what we're going to have here is a dynasty, guys. That, you know, what we're talking about is a team that's won two championships in the last 3 years, and the year they didn't win, they had 73 regular season wins, the most ever, and they were up 3-1 in the finals, and LeBron came back and beat them. So how good have these Warriors become that you think back to that championship team of 3 years ago, and Klay Thompson was the number two option. It was the Steph and Klay show. Klay's gotten better, and he's the number four option on this team with Kevin Durant and Draymond Green.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you. Is Klay back next year?
Klay's back. Listen, Luke, I think this is a scenario where if these guys are willing to do the Miami thing, when LeBron and Bosch went there, they didn't get paid max dollars.
Yeah.
They took a little bit of a haircut. It's what Tom Brady does in New England, too. If, you know, the owner of the Warriors yesterday said, we're willing to pay Steph the max, but if everybody takes just a little less, like Oklahoma City did when they had Kevin Durant, Serge Ibaka, and Russell Westbrook. You know, Durant's already set the precedent there that, hey, maybe they can keep this thing together, and what a run that could be.
Arash, always enjoy having you on, sir. Thanks for finding the time, and enjoy the Jays and Rays tonight.
All right, Roddy. Thanks, Luke.
All right. Sportsnet's Arash Madani appearing on the Wheaton Kia Hotline, brought to you by Wheaton Kia. Save up to $6,000 during the Great Saskatchewan Sorrento Super Sale. Jays and Rays coming up tonight from Rogers Centre. All football the rest of the way. Hang on, everybody. We are brought to you by Saskatchewan Lotteries in the Sports Cage on 620 CKRM. And the CKRM app. Time to check in with the Boston Pizza Afternoon Rush. The city of Oakland is gearing up for a parade Thursday morning to celebrate the Golden State Warriors' latest NBA title. City crews are busy hanging championship banners along the parade route. The Warriors completed a 5-game win over the Cleveland Cavaliers last night. Arizona Cardinals receiver Larry Fitzgerald is the winner of the Good Guy Award from the Professional Football Writers of America. The 10-time Pro Bowler is the franchise leader in nearly every receiving category. He earned the honor for his qualities and professional style in helping football writers do their jobs. Luke, I think you'll win the Good Guy Award in the CFL from the Professional Football Writers of America.
Yeah, right.
And as mentioned with Arash, American League East teams will square off tonight at Rogers Centre. The Jays kick off a 2-game miniseries against the Tampa Bay Rays. Marco Estrada getting the start for Toronto. That's the Boston Pizza Afternoon Rush. Try the new signature pizza recipes like Canadian back bacon, or chicken shawarma at Boston Pizza for a limited time. And thanks to our peeps at Boston Pizza last night.
Yep.
Another 50% off our tab. They're big Sports Cage fans here. We challenge all Saskatchewan Boston pizzas for a similar deal. That is the
I can't believe
afternoon.
The amount of pandering we do.
And it's working.
In training camp.
And it's working. That's why we do it. So getting serious for a minute.
Yeah.
You had something you wanted to mention
today. Yeah, you know what? Today we got word, and I'm going to slow down a little bit because it's a serious note. The Don Matthews, is not doing well. He's in hospital in Oregon. So what I'm asking all of Rider Nation and everybody in the CFL who's hearing this is please keep Don and his family in your prayers. This is a five-time champion. This is a five-time coach of the year. But more importantly, this is somebody who changed the game so dramatically in the Canadian Football League and carried the flag so well and impacted so many people's lives. His scheme that he put out is still being replicated by coaches here. He is so revered, so well respected. I remember being in camp in 2012 with the Alouettes and having him come out there and guys just hanging off every single word he said. He was such an impactful person, an important person to the CFL landscape over his years. I mean, he was involved with the league, I think, from 1977 or something like that. So it's just... you can't explain in words how important the Don Matthews is to the Canadian Football League. So please keep his family and him in your prayers, whatever religion you are, pray to whatever deity you believe in, because this is an important man to this whole entire league who's loved and respected, and we wish him well.
I was going to ask you what your connection was to him, because I'll say this.
I'll tell you, everybody's got a connection to him.
Yeah, Don, but I just wonder what yours was.
Yeah, it's the CFL. It's somebody that you ought, from day one in the Canadian Football League, when you get an opportunity to compete here, you hear about. It's somebody who set trends. It's somebody who set the standard for so many years. I think right now he's still second in all-time wins. He's it. He's the bar. The Don is the bar in this league, and I think that it's important for people to know that right now, because he has impacted. So I had small conversations with him. I didn't know the man personally, but I know a lot of people who really love him personally, and I know that they'll be praying, and the whole league should be for
him,
because,
and you said you got a note from his family, and they are, you know, they're saying if you have the contact info, send messages of support.
Yeah, if you reach out to any of your alumni that you do know, and you know you've had interactions with Don. This is probably for more of the CFL guys, right? If you've had an interaction in the past, reach out to the alumni. They have his contact info. And once again, just reach out to them.
I think a lot of fans do too, and I know we'd love to hear from them. So as a matter of fact, if you have any Don Matthews stories coming back after the news headlines break, love to hear them. We've got a few we'll roll out. It is day 17 of Rider training camp, and we'll tell you what's doing with Canada's team when we return to Griffith Stadium for Saskatchewan Lotteries, the fundraiser for over 12,000 sport, culture, and recreation groups. We'll be back in a flash on 620 CKRM and the CKRM app. Sports Cage continues from cloudy and cool Saskatoon on day 17 of Saskatchewan Rough Riders training camp, presented by Coors Light. We are presented by Saskatchewan Lotteries today, as the track team's coming out here all bundled up today. Rain or shine.
It's an overcast practice for the track squad today. Cooler weather probably dictates for longer warm-ups, so I don't know how long this practice is possibly going to go on for.
Well, we're here for the next 2 hours, so we'll find out.
Yeah, they'll be here for longer, I think.
Coming up, we're going to hear from Rider quarterback Marquise Williams, kicker Quinn Van Gilswick, and the voice of the Blades, Les Lazarek. Arash Madani was with us earlier from Rogers Centre. The Jays are home to Tampa tonight, mid-week series. Shane in Regina writes, can you ask Arash for some follow-up on Devin Travis's knee surgery and when he's coming back? I don't need to ask Arash on that. He had cartilage removed out of his knee in New York today. And the quote from John Gibbons, which I read this afternoon, was that he'll be out for quite a while. Hmm. And Arash says potentially a season-ending injury for the Jays star second baseman. So, I don't know. You ever get the feeling it's just not your year? Hmm. Just not going to be your year? Just when the Jays get something rolling, something else hits.
Yeah, they've been hit with that bug quite a bit here this year. Hopefully it's all in the first half of the season. They can
maintain. Hopefully they're not too far out. Eight out.
Yeah, exactly. I think that's the thing about baseball. I'm no expert, and I'm a huge Jays fan, obviously. But like, I get the feeling if you can just be within range, about
at the All-Star break.
Yeah, a few games after the All-Star break, you have a chance to make a run.
Prairie Mobile text line. Hey guys, when you're in Saskatoon, you have to try Johnny Boy's Buffet, the best fried chicken in the city. Thanks, Wingnut. That's from Wingnut. Luke and I are considering taking our lives in our hand and hitting a buffet place. We were warned.
We've been warned not to go to a certain buffet spot, but it's
tempting.
It's like that. It's like that annoying girl that you don't want to go on a date with. You know, she keeps texting, she keeps poking you, and like, hey, you know, wait. And so,
could be going to that buffet place, but we really miss Bonanza.
Yeah, it's a sad story.
Regarding Don Matthews going into hospital in Oregon and his condition not good, Aaron in Lumsden writes in and says, hey, Rod, if I remember correctly, Don Matthews was the driving force behind the lobby for guaranteed contracts for CFL coaches. Aaron, you're probably right. I know that the one thing I know about Don in terms of a coach's there is no union per se, but lobbying for benefits for coaches and pension plans if possible. And I know the Riders now lead the way in that regard. I'm not sure what other teams do because they've never worked for any other team. But Don, all the virtues that Luke extolled prior to the break, he gave so much back.
Yeah, exactly.
To those in the coaching fraternity too that people don't even know about.
Yeah, it's unbelievable the amount of knowledge he has and shares with people. You learn best by teaching, right? But the Don is just, he's so sewn into the fabric of the Canadian Football League that I can't remember a bigger personality and a more important personality, to tell you the truth, to the league than him. I can't think of one.
That's why I asked you what your connection was to Don, and so he was in Montreal when you were there. For me,
it's amazing. I've had sorry.
Well, for me, it was when I was. It's a very fun, warm, fuzzy era for me. It was the tail end of me just being a fan before I got into the media. I remember when Don Matthews replaced John Gregory in August of 1991 when he was fired. 92-93 were unbelievable years for the Rough Riders. 11-7 in one of those seasons under Don Matthews, and he was the man, and he was dating a gal from PA. I was living in PA at the time. We saw him in restaurants up there, saw him around PA, and it was like a god walked in, you know, like the Don just had that presence about him. Then, of course, I got into the
he's like
media.
The Nick Saban. He's yeah. like he's like yes. what Nick Saban is to Alabama. He's that to CFL. He's that important. He's every single defensive coordinator I've come in contact or I've had has taken some aspect of what Don Matthews has done. Every single one, including, I think, Chris Jones. I mean, I think that you've heard Chris Jones talk highly favorably of Don Matthews, right? He's just impacted so many lives, it's not even funny.
Don Matthews gave Chris Jones a start.
There you go. Like, yeah, that's what I mean. It's just, it's and that's why I think it's a big deal. I think that there's a lot of people that care about him, and the more prayers and positive energy out there towards him and his family right now, the better.
Actually, had I known, I would have brought it up with Chris Jones today when we spoke to the Riders head coach after practice today. Yeah. But there were other topics, and one was of Brian Bennett. Let's get into the nuts and bolts of things here. There's a lot of things Chris Jones addressed today in a 7-8 minute session with the reporters, but I asked him, how would you describe the play of Brian Bennett since Saturday's game? You know what his answer was? What? Still waiting for him to snap out of it.
Yeah, and you know what? That's and something you and I talked about up in the booth today when we were watching practice is that he still seems a little bit rattled. The decisiveness and most importantly, and Chris Jones has spoken about this before about all of his quarterbacks, but most importantly, the body language is so different now with Brian Bennett. But he's a competitor. So all you got to do is you got to continue to give him resources, and that's the best part about competitive quarterbacks and competitive people in general. Once a couple things go right, like if he gets an opportunity in the game, once he hits a couple throws and stuff, it'll turn on, right? But you get the feeling that there's he's still a little bit rattled out there, and that's fine. That's something that I think that's a process that every player goes through. I remember going through games where it was just like, man, I don't even know why I'm employed as a CFL athlete. I'd probably get cut here. And you literally go into the next practice just on a low, and it takes you having to do something really good just to get you sort of vibed up again and get you confident about playing in an actual game again and gets you feeling good. You have to see positive things on film. Like, you have to have a good practice week and things like that. In order, it's such a process to get back up on that shelf where you know you belong, but mentally it's just tough to get there because you know what type of situation you're in.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you something. I got a friend in Winnipeg, Shane McGowan. He's a mental strength coach, and he's working with the Falcons now. I believe he's worked with the Navy SEALs in the States. A lot of his work's coming out of America, which, quite frankly, is the forerunners in a lot of athletics. And because this is a sports talk show, I don't mind bringing it up because our listeners are either sports fans or they're participating in sports or both. Do you think there's a huge opportunity for guys that are mental strength coaches in the game of football for that reason? I was just reading one of his posts on Instagram today about forgetting mistakes. So it's funny you say that. It's about, it was a whole reading that he'd put together about how you need to forget the past and look forward.
I think the only thing about a mental strength coach is a resume. I think it's so hard for, because we've had, I've seen motivational speakers that I've been like, this guy just stole every single person, every person that paid to be in here, this guy just stole their money. And they and it's unfair, and I felt bad. So you have to get the ones that have actually done something. And if he's oh man, if listen, first of all, if you're a mental strength training coach, if you're a mental coach for the Navy SEALs, then I'm employing you immediately.
Yeah.
I am employing you. Those guys are robotic in a good way. It's unbelievable how mentally competent and strong those guys are. And so yeah, I think that if you find the right one, you're good. But you can't just go and just get anybody that says, hey, I'm a mental strength coach, or I'm a mental coach, because, I got to see your resume, brother, right? You can't be coming out of, managing a company's PR department, for instance, and start your own business calling yourself a mental strength. Go and get one of those online courses and be that guy. No, absolutely not. I need to see you with some depth or experience, especially for football players, right? Hearing somebody that's actually been through the grind of training camp come in, a former athlete, and say, "Yeah, I'm also a certified mental coach." Boom, I'm in. What can I learn from you?
Yeah, it's a bit of a chicken and the egg thing. You got to start somewhere on both sides.
Absolutely, I agree with you.
But it sounds like Brian Bennett could use that.
If there's a good one, every single athlete can use one, because professional football especially is a mental game. That's why we talk about mental repetition so much. That's why we talk about having to see and feel things out when you're not actually involved in the physical rep. It's a mental game. And anyway, I'll tell you what, I mean, I regret not reading this book before. But as a fifth-year player, I knew that I needed to get so I got this book. Andy Fantuz recommended to me. It was called Mind Gym, and I swear by it. It's like my Bible now. I still read it every now and then when I need a reminder or I need to talk to my daughter about her jiu-jitsu competitions, right? Like, there's tools out there, and if you find the right one.
Yep, that's what Chris Jones talked about today, and I did not load up his audio from today's session. Maybe I should have, but I'm kind of paraphrasing some of the things the coach of the Riders said today, because next hour we're going to hear from Marquise Williams, the fourth string quarterback, I guess, maybe even higher than that. Who knows? Although Chris Jones is saying it's still not clear behind Kevin Glenn. But we'll hear from Marquise Williams, and we'll hear from Quinn Van Gilswick, and he talks about a point that Robert in Humboldt writes us on the Prairie Mobile text line. He says, it's too early for weather comparisons in the new stadium, but what about field conditions for route running? It's not too early at all to talk about weather comparisons, and I haven't spoken to the receivers, but I did go deep with Quinn Van Gilswick today about kicking in the new Mosaic Stadium on Saturday night. And I'll paraphrase there because we're going to hear from him next hour, but he said the wind is it's a factor anywhere when you're kicking on the prairies. But he said it's far better, Luke, in the new stadium than in the old stadium.
Far better. Well, that's good. I think that the wind was a concern for not just players. I think the wind was a concern for just the general public in wondering how the wind was going to swirl in that bowl, et cetera. So I know this. I know that if there's anybody who's going to be bang on about how it affects the football game, it's going to be the kickers.
Yeah, well, Quinn's take is that in all these old stadiums, Taylor Field, Winnipeg Stadium, which you played in, Ivor Wynne, they were just naked. You were wide open to the elements.
Yeah.
You know, and that's kind of what we're looking at here at Griffith Stadium. But with what the Riders have done bowling the stadium, covering 70% of it. Well, stands to reason the wind's not going to be as big of a factor.
And one of the other thing is people don't understand how loud it is on field level. One of my someone was telling me that when they were in the stands, that didn't seem as loud to them. But when you're on field level, that sound is just captured right there on that field level underneath. It's unbelievable how loud that building is going to be. And I can't wait to see the first major second and eight situation for an opposing offense. And I can't wait to hear that building go off.
Well,
it's going to be soup. It's
Winnipeg can lay claim to the title, CFL's loudest fans. That's fine.
Oh, absolutely. Right now, Winnipeg, the game atmosphere in Winnipeg, when you have a good game, is second to none right now. But I'm telling you, you got something that everybody's anticipating here. Week two, June 1st, July 1st?
Well, I talked to Dressler about it, and he agreed. Like, at peaks, at its highest, yeah, they're louder in Winnipeg. But overall, throughout an entire game, Saskatchewan's louder. And I know exactly what he means.
Yeah, because Winnipeg's used to getting blown out. So
right.
It's not a...
Why would you cheer for them? But,
it's not something to cheer about.
But in our new stadium, when it means something.
We shouldn't throw stones in a glass house.
Nah, that's Winnipeg.
We've lived in the glass house for the last few years.
That's right. So Luke talks about what it's going to be like in week two, the home opener. Let's send a listener right now on SaskTel, pick the score. What do you say? Give us a call out of town, 1-866-767-0620. Be the second caller through on our toll-free line and play SaskTel, pick the score. You pick the score of the Riders and the BC Lions this Friday night, and just for playing, you'll win two tickets to the Rider home opener against the Blue Bombers on Canada Day, all courtesy of the Sports Cage. And if you accurately predict the winning score of Friday night's game, Riders and BC Lions, you'll win a $200 gift card to the SaskTel store. All entrants all year long will go into a draw for a trip for two to the 2017 Grey Cup in Ottawa. We'll tell you who the winner is when we come back. We're brought to you by Saskatchewan Lotteries in the Sports Cage on 620 CKRM and the CKRM app. RMP Sports Cage Sports Tinker. The Toronto Blue Jays have a chance to finally get back to the 500 mark tonight. Toronto's picked up its play over the last 6 weeks after a poor start. Marco Estrada getting the start for Toronto against the visiting Tampa Bay Rays. 5:07 on Sportsnet. The Milwaukee Brewers are reinstating infielder Travis Shaw. He'd been out for almost a week due to a family emergency. The Brewers are playing a day-night doubleheader today in St. Louis. Standout wide receiver Odell Beckham Jr. is back with the New York Giants for the team's mandatory three-day minicamp. The three-time Pro Bowler skipped the recent OTAs to train on the West Coast. Giants recently picked up the fifth-year option on Beckham's rookie contract. And the Golden State Warriors say no decision's been made regarding a potential White House visit to celebrate their NBA title. Reports indicated the Warriors voted unanimously against making a White House trip. Head coach Steve Kerr has previously expressed his disappointment with the U.S. election results. Interesting. That's the RMP Sports Cage Sports Ticker, Regina Motor Products, home of no car crap BS. I know this. Had the Spurs won the NBA championship, they wouldn't have been going to the White House for sure. Greg Popovich isn't a fan of Trump, but he's not a fan of anybody. We have a winner on the Pick the Score. Craig Stein of Yorkton has predicted the Saskatchewan Roughriders will beat the BC Lions 30-24 on Friday night at BC Place in a game that can be heard right here and, of course, on GX94 Yorkton. 30-24 Riders, says Craig Stein. I hope you're right. And just for playing, Steiner, you will be coming to the game courtesy SaskTel and Rider Radio. Trying to get a hold of Brian out of Flowing Springs while Busta Riles is on that. We'll go to the Prairie Mobile text line. Kelly writes in. She says, hey, guys, wondering a couple of things. When will the Riders make a decision on Vince Young's status with the team? Will they keep him around to see if he recovers? Sorry, Luke, but I want to know. Also, curious if anyone stands out to you to be our starting running back. Thankful for your great training camp coverage. Now, just hang on. We'll get to that in a minute. We do have Brian, you said, Riley? All right, let's go out to Flowing Springs right now. As we do every Tuesday and Thursday, Brian Raymond joins us from out there. How you doing, Brian?
I'm doing fine, Rod.
Good. Cool and cloudy up here in Saskatoon. How are things at Flowing Springs?
It's pretty much the same thing here. The wind's picked up a little bit. We're getting a little bit of rain. I'm not too sure how much we're going to get, but we're still open. We're still going strong. And, of course, tomorrow is Ladies' Day. If the weather permits, it's $25 to come out and play. If you're riding a power cart, ladies, you get that same special for $35. If you're a senior, we can give you green fee power cart, lunch and a beverage for $49 tomorrow up until 1 o'clock. And, of course, if you're not a senior, we can get that same special for $59. And, Rod, as you know, we have the JDRF tournament here on Thursday. In conjunction with that, from 10 until 2 on our huge driving range, we'll have a Callaway demo day. So anybody who's interested in looking at new golf clubs or maybe getting fitted, we have our Callaway technical rep here, and we're looking forward to having some folks out here to try out new clubs.
You sound very busy out there today, Brian.
Oh, we're just doing a few things here to get ready for the tournament, Rod. We've got a few people waiting to go out. So, yeah, it's good.
Okay, well, we won't keep you other than to say 543-5050 for bookings and Twilight. We're coming up on the summer solstice, Brian. As you know, best deal in town is the Twilight special. Just hit that again.
Yes, sir. After 6 o'clock every day, Rod. Doesn't matter. Weekday, weekend, it's $12 after 6 o'clock. And you're right. With the summer, people are getting 18 holes in now if they tee off at or shortly after 6 o'clock.
Thanks, Brian. Say hi to those folks getting in line, and we'll chat with you on Thursday.
You betcha. Take care, Rod.
All right, Brian Raymond out of Flowing Springs, the official golf course of the Sports Cage. So to Kelly in Calgary's questions, Luke, let's start with the running backs, because you and I talked about that when we got into the booth here today before we went on the air. I see Cameron Marshall and Anthony Allen as almost dead even. I don't know if the coaches do or not.
Well, we're not in there watching the tape, and we don't necessarily know exactly how much of the playbook they've been able to absorb. But from what we saw out there on Saturday against Winnipeg, both of them ran the ball hard. They made swift, quick decisions. You don't want those running, like, they were patient, but at the same time, when they knew where they wanted to go, they went, right? You don't want those running backs who sit back there and question every decision, who wait way too long, or you don't want those running backs who just run in a straight line and end up running up the backside of an offensive lineman trying to make a block, right? So I thought they ran well, but more importantly for me, both of them blocked well. When Winnipeg was blitzing, and this is in serious situations too. For instance, when Winnipeg needed to stop the Riders on that game-winning Marquise Williams-led drive, Winnipeg blitzed a couple times, and I'm pretty sure it was Anthony Allen who was in the game at this time, blocked him up all the time, right? And Cameron Marshall, when Winnipeg was blitzing, he had no problem. He knew exactly where his assignment was in terms of blocking for that quarterback, and they both allowed whatever quarterback was in to make football throws. They were able to throw the football, to step into their throws, because of the fact that Cameron Marshall and Anthony Allen were stepping in and blocking the right guy. So, I mean, right now, who do you want? Phew, another tough decision right there. And I think it's been even made tougher now that Keenan LaFrance hasn't been out in practice all camp. Don't sleep on Greg Morris, though. Greg Morris is still out there. He's one of the guys that you identified today in practice, going hard. Man, they were working the kickoff team today, I think, and the only one who was sprinting like his life depended on it down the field was Greg Morris. It was impressive, and you can't coach effort.
Well, we're going to have to carry this over into hour two. So, Kelly, I hope you're still listening by that point. But based on sheer numbers, Cameron Marshall had a 7.8-yard average the other night carrying the football, and I think Anthony Allen was half that. But as you said, Anthony was great picking up blocks. Friday, you can't evaluate in training camp, I don't care, running backs for the most part. You got to wait till the games.
Yeah, so I have a feeling they find a way to keep both the guys on the rosters.
And that's why I asked you that. I'm just financially.
Yeah.
Can they do that?
They had leverage on both the guys. I think they had leverage on Anthony Allen when they made that phone call, and Cameron Marshall was also a guy that they probably had a little bit of leverage on. I don't think they were that expensive, and if they are carrying really attractive contracts in their eyes, I have a feeling they're playing time incentive contracts, right? Because they keep in mind they were both running backs that didn't have a job, right?
A full hour of football talk next hour. We'll hear from Marquise Williams and Quinn Van Gilswick and answer your questions, Rider Nation. We're brought to you by Saskatchewan Lotteries, the fundraiser for over 12,000 sport, culture, and recreation groups. This is Rider Radio, 620 CKRM and the CKRM app.
And
And Luke Mullinder's aboard from Saskatoon's Griffith Stadium. We come to you live on day 17 of Saskatchewan Rough Riders training camp. Presented by Coors Light. We're presented by Saskatchewan Lotteries in the Sports Cage. And quite frankly, there is a light at the end of the tunnel for anybody who is getting tired of Riders training camp. And I'm not talking about our listeners. I'm talking about the Riders themselves, the 85 to 90 players that are in camp for this football team who enjoyed a cooler day in Saskatoon today. It did not rain, but there's a threat of it. It's overcast here for the first cool day in 3 weeks. And Luke and I were saying, kind of enjoying it, to be honest with you. And for those that are going to come out or want to come out to SMF Field tomorrow for day 18 workouts, check Ryder's Twitter, or Luke's Twitter, or mine in the morning, because there's a threat of a heavy, heavy rain tomorrow.
Don't check my Twitter. You're not going to get any weather.
Check the Ryder's Twitter, because they may move their practice indoors or even just a walkthrough session, because Luke and I had a great visit today down at SMF Field, and you said Mark Trestman refused to practice in the rain.
Absolute refusal.
Yeah, and he told me. Awesome. I know. I talked to him about it too. He said you don't get anything done.
If there was a 5% chance of rain, we were practicing inside, and nobody—I'll tell you—nobody did walkthroughs like Mark Trestman. They were those were practices. Those were, very walkthrough practices. They were impressive.
But here's a wonderful story that I want to just relate to our listeners, because they love this kind of stuff. And you told me your side of it, and I had my own side of it in the 09 Grey Cup, and then 2010. When the Alouettes flew in, they came in late, a day after you guys did, to Calgary for that Grey Cup. And Trestman at his news conference said, we won't be practicing outdoors the next 2 days, Wednesday or Thursday, or Thursday and Friday. And I'm like, well, the Riders are, and it's minus 27 out there, or whatever it was. I'm like, why are they not? Oh, boy. Well, the Riders are going to be toughened up for this, and they're going to beat them. Same thing next week, the next year in Montreal. They were having indoor walkthroughs, Grey Cup week. Now, and of course, they went on to win the games. You were on the Riders both times, both years. What were you guys thinking when you were practicing out in the elements and the Owls were having these cushy walkthroughs?
Well, I remember, indoors. Well, that's what I remember. I remember thinking, I can't believe these guys are doing walkthroughs. But I was used to our walkthroughs and our pace and our tempo. And then I got to Montreal in 2012 for a full year under Trestman. And those walkthroughs, they were impressive. The pace wasn't there, but every single thing was detailed. There was, it's hard to explain, actually, because a lot of guys and a lot of even football guys, like, they see walkthroughs in a certain way. These weren't Mark Trestman. Mark Trestman walkthroughs were precise. They were detailed. They were on point. They were they were fast paced, and there was absolutely nothing you weren't allowed to get away with it. If you stepped wrong, you're doing it again. Like, it was something that was out of this world. And then I realized, I was like, okay, this is why. This is why they won those games. They were doing walkthrough. They were doing this. And they were mentally weighted. They were, it was just very impressive to be involved in those.
So I don't know how Chris Jones runs things, but I'm just told that if it's raining tomorrow, we won't have a practice to watch, was the indication that I was given early on this morning. So, again, follow the Riders Twitter feed for updates on tomorrow's workout if you plan to attend. I guess we could get to Quinn Van Gilswick, and we will in a minute, other than we had occasion today to spend a good deal of time with a CFL agent, and I'm not saying any tales out of school because everybody knows who he is or saw that he was here. But when we talk about evaluation, Luke, and come on the radio every day to talk about it, I got a TV show tonight where we're talking about evaluations, and we write about it every day. He really opened my eyes to something. With the salary cap and the CFL strictly adhered to, it's become to me like hockey, which is the other sport I watch so close. It's not so much about ability anymore as it is the contracts and how do they fit financially into the cap, which is almost disappointing in a way, but like you say, we saw a different side of it today because he's representing players on the Rider roster, and it's not as cleared and cut as who had the best stats in the preseason game or camp.
Well, it's a business, and we talk about being on the team and being part of the team and competing and playing football, that's amazing. And being a professional athlete is awesome. It's everything that you can imagine. However, that business side is a monster, and I've said that repeatedly since I've been involved in radio. And it is something that isn't for the faint of heart. It's not something that involves any loyalty, and nor should it. And it's not. And the business side is something that's a harsh reality, because unfortunately, a lot of players come to realize that this game doesn't owe them anything at the end of that business process. It doesn't owe one person, not one thing. And it's something that's always looking to get younger and cheaper. And that's sort of the conversation that you had, I think, with Rob. I wasn't.
You were paying attention to what was going on the field.
Yeah.
Now, just talking to Rob about how financially things fit in, what each guy makes. And that's why it's really hard for us folks to cover the CFL and maybe predict where they're going, because it's one thing to see what we see in the field, but we don't know what the contracts are because they're not transparent as they are in the Big Four. So that's something only the agents and the teams know, and the players.
Absolutely.
That's it. And they work it out amongst themselves. We're reporting on what we see, but how the money fits into things is a totally different animal, and that has as big of factor as to how a roster is put together than the talent on the field.
Absolutely.
Now, yeah, so one of the guys you saw the other night, he went 4-for-4 on field goals, was Quinn Van Gilswick. He's in his second year with the Riders. He's out of the UBC Thunderbirds program, and I chatted with him today and asked him how he thought he played Saturday night against Winnipeg.
I had a really good field goal game. Punts weren't coming off as good as I wanted them to, but each game's different, right? Felt pretty good, though.
We were debating, what's your specialty? Do you say you're a place kicker or a punter? What's your favorite, or what are you?
I don't know.
Are they even?
I don't know. You know, like in college, I was really good at punting, and then my last year of college, I was really good at kicking and punting. And then it's been a big transition coming to pro, changing up my punting and everything in the off season, and just trying to figure it all out.
So you'd like to say you're good at both, probably, right?
I would like to say I'm good at both. Yeah.
So a lot of the fans are asking me to ask you what the win was like the other night. How did you feel that was? And did you get a good read and warm up before the game even started?
Yeah, it swirled a little bit. On the sidelines, it didn't feel like there was any wind. But then when you got into the middle of the field, you could feel like where the wind was going. So it was a little different, but it wasn't too bad. I expected it to be a lot worse.
What did you think your range was going to be? Or is it the same?
If you got a strong wind in your face, you're obviously not going to kick it as far, but I could still probably get it out of 55. That's usually my go-to if I'm going to pick a range.
Was it a concern for you and Todd, or what the wind was going to be like in there? Because I don't think you'd been in there before, had you?
No, I hadn't. The first time I was there is when they were just constructing it, and we just kind of got to look around. But I was really curious because I saw like the big open scoreboard side, and I thought wind was just going to pile right in. But it wasn't. It wasn't as bad as I thought it was going to be.
Well, you and Tyler are both, and any guy that was on last year's team, kind of cool. You played in the old place and the new place. Is that special to you to have had the chance to play in both?
Yeah, of course. You know, I played in the old one through college too, but it's a way different atmosphere when you're playing for the Riders because they sell out every single game, and it's crazy. And to be like the first home game for the new Mosaic was unreal.
Is there a difference in the wind from the old place to the new place?
Yeah, the old place was a wind tunnel. Like you always had. I think we had maybe three practices all last season that didn't have wind in the old Mosaic, and and this one, the first day it was nice in the new one. So
this is better.
Yes.
Yeah. Cool. So how are you feeling about this season? I was talking to Robbie. He's a good friend of mine. You must be excited to know you're playing somewhere this year, whether it's here or somewhere. That's exciting.
Yeah, I'm just out here. I'm just trying to compete for a job. Being behind Bartel, he's been top of his game for a while. So it's good to kind of him being a mentor and all. I'm not sure where I'm going to end up, if I'm going to be here or not, but I'm excited to find out.
Do you and Tyler run out of things to talk about? Like, tell our fans how much you're together, how much you've been the last 3 weeks.
No, we don't run out of things to talk about.
You're together all day, literally.
Yeah, for the most part. Yeah, we walked to lunch together. We were the only two in the dorms while Hoos and Josh were an injury. We're good buddies.
You don't get tired of each other.
Nah.
I gotta ask you, are you still growing? Like, you're always been a big guy, but you seem thicker and maybe a little taller this
year. I had a good off season this year. I put on a good 15-20 pounds. So
naturally or lifting?
Lifting.
Wow.
Yeah, I put in a good solid couple months, and then I had my kicking coach. So no, I guess you could say I'm growing. I'd never filled out my frame because I was pretty skinny. I was 6'3", buck 90 last year, and I'm 205. So
do you feel this has helped you?
Yeah, you get a little bit more momentum. You don't have to kick it as hard. Like, if you see my practices, I'm gradually just kicking. I'm not trying to kick the shit out of the ball. Sorry my language, but yeah.
And so was that the Don Sweet influence?
Yes, it was. Yeah.
Heard that from a million guys over the years. Just like a golf stroke, they say.
Exactly.
Right?
And I feel like when you're a kicker, you got to be a good golfer. So me and Don hit the links a couple times. So it's
good.
Yeah.
All right, Quinn. Well, thanks for this and good luck with everything this year.
Thank you very much.
Rider kicker Quinn Van Gilswick. Smart kid, Luke. And
I like that he takes. I could have learned a thing or two from him. He's a good interviewer. You can tell he thinks about the answers before he just spits them out randomly. Very unlike myself, who used to do just, Schulte. Spit it out right away.
Oh, yeah, that's great.
Yeah.
They're both great.
I like his little comment, too. If you got to be a good golfer if you want to be a good kicker. It is. It's very routine. I know that the coaching staff was happy that he took he took a full step out of his kicking process this off season, and I think that's what's led to some of the inconsistency that he's felt. And I know that he was in that interview. He even stated he was really happy with his field goal kicking, but he, his punting was off a little bit. And I think that takes time, because it's one thing to take a step out of your process in the off season and do it repetitiously and time it and all that stuff, but it's a total it's a different planet when you get into a training camp scenario and you're doing it in practice, guys are running it, and then in an exhibition game when it's live and guys are trying to block the punt and things like that. Total different process. So I think that it'll be something that he needs to continue to work on. And again, it's like becoming a good DB in the CFL within the CFL rules. Unfortunately, you got to learn the hard way, and you just got to rep the crap out of it to get better at it.
Yeah, and back to the financials. He's on his rookie contract at $53,000 a year, whereas Josh Bartel re-upped for $85,000 to $90,000 this year. Hmm. And I don't know what Tyler Crepina's at, but he's a three-year vet. He's making some money too, and Quinn Van Gilswick can perform all three duties. So this is an issue for the Riders, but it's I think, a good problem because they're all good players.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right?
Yeah, well, it's the best problem to have.
Yes.
It's that's exactly what you want as a football coach and as the decision makers for the 2017 Saskatchewan Rough Riders, is you want tough, you want decisions that keep you up at night, because that's how you're going to field the best team. You're going to go into it confident. You're going to have to make some tough decisions. But the next day when you wake up and you have your first team meeting, you know the right guys are in the room. No doubt.
We're going to take a timeout and return to Griffith Stadium in Saskatoon in a moment. On the way on this program, Rider quarterback Marquise Williams. He's the one who came out with the game on the line and delivered in the fourth quarter the other night against Winnipeg. And the voice of the Blades, Les Lazaruk, as we catch up on his thoughts on this football team. He was in Regina for Saturday night's game, and we'll get his take as well. We're brought to you by Saskatchewan Lotteries, the fundraiser for over 12,000 sport, culture, and recreation groups. This is Rider Radio 620 CKRM and the CKRM app. Oh, wind getting up here in Saskatoon as we look at the Boston Pizza Afternoon Rush. Two teams that were in the Major League Baseball playoffs last year are going head-to-head in an interleague battle tonight as the Dodgers take on the Indians at Cleveland. The Dodgers fell short of the World Series last year, losing in the NLCS to the Cubs, while the Indians lost to the Cubs in the Fall Classic. Both teams are in the punt-on hunt this year, in their respective leagues again, with the season now over a third complete and the All-Star break about a month away. So that's a marquee game tonight. The Blue Jays back home and doing what they do best, hitting the long ball into the outfield seats. Toronto's homered in 33 of its last 38 games. Since the start of May, they hit five homers in Seattle in a three-game set on the weekend. Tonight, the Tampa Bay Rays are in town. And NFL news, Julian Edelman is a step closer towards playing his entire NFL career with the New England Patriots. The 31-year-old receiver confirmed today that he has signed a contract extension that will run through the 2019 season. Edelman was one of the heroes of New England's historic Super Bowl comeback win over the Falcons in February. Oh, and Sergio Garcia was decked out in green today as he set out for his first U.S. Open practice round at Erin Hills, Wisconsin. Yes, Sergio wears the title of Masters champ quite well. A weight was lifted when he finally captured the major title that eluded him all of those years. So, U.S. Open coming up this week as well. That is the Boston Pizza afternoon rush. Try Boston Pizza's new signature pizza recipes like Canadian back bacon or chicken shawarma at Boston Pizza for a limited time. Luke Mullender with me here in Saskatoon. You hear the wind up. It is not a nice day in Saskatoon. The rain has stayed away so far, but supposedly tomorrow morning we're going to get pelted here in Saskatoon, which is somewhat unfortunate because
it's been great.
It's the last day of training camp.
See you, Cap.
Yeah, because the team will be holding a walkthrough, I believe, Thursday morning here, and then flying to Vancouver Thursday and getting ready for Friday night's preseason game against the BC Lions. However, I got to say this. The rain is not disappointing because I had a good friend in Assiniboia who's celebrating a birthday. I texted him happy birthday today. He's a farmer named Marv. And he said, hey, all I want for my birthday is could you do a rain dance for me because it's so dry down here. So I understand. I understand we need rain in this province, number one factor, but it doesn't help out on the football field at all. Prairie Mobile text line from Allie and Kev in Sherwood Park, just outside Edmonton. They write, we enjoyed listening to your game call Saturday. Is there any chance of Ricky Foley coming back, or has he been signed elsewhere? Go Riders.
Actually, I talked to Ricky about that a little bit as camp was progressing here during the first week. And I think Ricky just wants to compete, but Ricky also doesn't want to be a guy that just comes in and does special teams. He wants a role, and I think he's got that competitive fire to him, and he wants to be able to impact the team. So I think that he's still waiting. He's going to wait on the right offer. I think that there were a couple teams that told him that they could come in, and I'm sure there was a couple teams that told him to hold on, and they'll bring him in after. So he's in a good spot because I think that eventually, if he wants to, and if he chooses to, because it's not about the money for him, he'll tell you that. It's not about the money. He just wants to compete for another chip. That's what it's all about.
And he doesn't really want to back up. Like, he wants what's right for him.
Well, it's not about backing up. I think that he just wants to be a part of a plan, right? He doesn't want to come in and I don't think he just wants to be a practice guy that's told to hold the cards and hold the bags. And right, I think that he wants to be on an actual depth chart, right? And he wants to be in the rotation. And he wants to be adding value to a team in some way.
I get this question once or twice daily, and I thought you had the best answer for it yesterday about Darian Durant's status. I think you said if Darian was hurt or not playing, everybody would know about it.
The whole league would know. Exactly. If doubles, because that was the call. The caller asked if we had heard anything about doubles, and he had gone back to practice. Yeah, and if doubles is a guy that if he's hurt, trust me, the whole league will know it. They'll all report it. And we haven't heard anything, so it's probably business as usual out there. I'm excited to see these next series of games for all these teams because, as we know, the second exhibition game is a lot more competitive, and the guys who are definitely part of the plans in some way, shape, or form for the decision makers of the team are going to spend a lot more time on the field, so it's going to be fun.
Brian in Hudson Bay writes in, he says, looking at the sched, the Riders kind of get the short end of the stick. When it comes to the season opener, we travel to BC Friday night, then 6 days later we have to open the season in Montreal. Come on, CFL, it could have been a better setup than that. It's tough, but For anybody that's been a fan of this league for as long as we have, which is literal decades, does anybody remember a year that we haven't complained about the schedule in some form or fashion?
Yeah, when this team had the bye week, the first.
I'd rather have this
game. Yeah, everybody's complaining. I think that. Hey, here's the thing. Montreal's got to deal with it too, and I know they're not playing on Thursday or as I know there's not the same amount of space between their games, but. It doesn't matter. These guys are going to be jacked up because it's week one, and you're going to have a new team. See, that's not the team coming out of camp against Montreal. That's not it. That's week one, 2017 Saskatchewan Rough Riders. That's the team. That's the guys in the locker room that are going to be asked to compete for a Grey Cup championship. Totally different group than the one at camp. So that team right there, that 2017 Saskatchewan Rough Riders, they're going to be amped, ready to roll. Against a team that's going to want to try to cut their throat, period.
Oh,
and,
I know.
And in a city that is really, 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 really tough to get a W in.
It's going to be such a war in week one, Riders and Alouettes. I literally can't wait. But there are two things that I'm going to try and not talk about for as long as possible this season.
All right.
The schedule and the fan support in Toronto. I'm not saying that I won't be able to talk about them, because there are major factors in this league and elephants in the room, but I'm not going to belabor it because it is what it is. And we're not going to sort it out here in the sports cage, sitting here, you and me. We're going to take a timeout. Rider quarterback Marquise Williams coming up on the program. He's the one that came out and led the team on the game-tying drive Saturday night against the Winnipeg Blue Bombers. And, oh, yeah, he remembers Darian Durant. He knows him well. He's got some thoughts on Darian's time at their alma mater, the University of North Carolina. It's the Sports Cage for Saskatchewan Lotteries today on 620 CKRM and the CKRM app. And the Sports Cage continues from windy and cool Saskatoon today on day 17 of Saskatchewan Rough Riders training camp presented by Coors Light. Riders at the BC Lions on Friday night, 8 o'clock here. Pregame coverage beginning at 5 with Ballsy and crew. The preseason finale. By the way, if you've got any questions for us on the Sports Cage today, by all means, fire them at us right now. Prairie Mobile text line 551-CKRM, 551-2576. Regarding this football team, as you are, for the most part, unable to see them up here in Saskatoon at training camp. I know a lot of our listeners are coming out daily, but a lot aren't. And you can write us on the Pilsner Twitter feed as well, at Rod Peterson. To celebrate your pill loyalty, cases of Pilsner are specially priced. Please drink responsibly. I pulled out my notebook for day 17, Luke, the notes that I wrote down when you and I were sitting in the press box at SMF Field. No Rob Bag today. No Brendan Labatt today. No Josiah St. John today. Coach Jones was asked about those injuries. He says they're still not serious. So that's good news.
Perfect. That's great news.
That's great news.
Yeah, absolutely. And to tell you the truth, keep Rob Bag and Brendan Labatt as far away from a pair of piece of equipment as possible until week one, and I'm good. Because I'm telling you, that old line with Brendan Labatt involved in it is a whole nother world, considering we have Diakowski. Concerned, obviously, about Josiah St. John's health. You want him to get healthy. But at the same time, you love the work that our youngsters are doing out here. Darius Bladick. You love the work that Eddie Meredith's trying to put in. You love the work that Dylan Guy's been putting in. And you love the fact that Dylan Guy hasn't been bothered by any knee issues or complications. So the youth is there. It's what made them be confident in trading Matt Vonk. And it's all about that O-line. You protect KG and whatever quarterback's in there, and you're able to run the rock. Oh, excuse me, sorry. Football. If you're able to run the football, you're going to compete in the West no matter who you are.
Well, you know, talking to a CFL type today about Darius Bladick, who you just mentioned, felt he was the most pro-ready lineman in the draft, and the Riders were able to get him to fall down to their second pick of the draft. Wasn't even a first-round pick. I mean, it appears a very astute selection by the Riders, because we've watched him every day. I've talked to him quite a bit. He's a giant physically. He is a mean and nasty SOB who's going to do anything to play on this football team.
That's what you want. You don't like playing against him, but you want the Dom Picards. You want those nasty, grinded Rob Murphy. Man.
Yep.
If I could swear on the radio, every single swear word I would dedicate to Rob Murphy. But as a teammate, you'd love him. You want those killers. Except you don't want the penalties. Some of them go overboard sometimes because you can't have the penalties, but you want those mean dudes.
That's Darius Bladick.
I'm fine with it. If Darius Bladick's accidentally on purpose hurting man, I'm telling you, as a D lineman, you hate playing against him, but man, do you love him as teammates?
Well, he'll get away with it for a while, but I think he's going to be on the roster, if not week one, real soon.
Well, he's just got to continue developing like he has. He's been putting in the work. It's not even the talent that we noticed right off the bat about him. It was the energy. It was the fact that he's running 40 yards downfield following a running back on a counterplay. Things like that when some of his other teammates have stopped and turned back towards the huddle. You love that. You can't coach that. Size, can't coach it. Attitude, can't coach it. Effort, can't coach it. It's those things, attitude, effort, that stuff, character, that's all in you already.
I also wrote down a fight between Greg Milhouse Jr. and Eddie Meredith. I talked to Meredith about it this afternoon here before the show. I ran into him behind the facility. I said, what about that fight with 96? And he just smiled. Hey, because it's just camp.
It is
but
just camp.
But they're so sick of each other.
It gets tedious hitting the same person and going against the same person, right? It's just... It's camp. It's the grind. It's what, but it's also what separates the good teams and the great teams is dealing with that, dealing with the monotony that comes with camp and still being able to find ways to get what you need done in order to take the next step. It's all about taking steps. You got to progress. You have to get better every single time out.
Well, those are some of the notes that I had written down from today's workout, and we'll get to some of the fan questions coming up here on today's program brought to you by Saskatchewan Lotteries. But first, quarterback Marquise Williams, interesting sort today. 33,000 people were able to see him live on Saturday night. Just early on in camp, I said physically he reminds me of Nealon Green. I feel that he throws the ball similarly to Nealon Green and scrambles similarly to Nealon. But he's far bigger because I stood beside him today at 6'3". He's a big dude. And he might have a better arm than Nealon, and he's clearly fearless because coming into that game, with the game on the line the other night, did not scare him one bit. We chatted with Marquise Williams, the product of the University of North Carolina, for after today's workout, and asked him how he thought he played Saturday night with a game on the line.
You know, I felt like, you know, if I get my chance, just go out there and give the 100%. You know, it doesn't matter if I said there was 30 seconds, you know, if it was a handoff and finishing my run, that, you know, just do the little things, you know, just to let the coaches know that, you know, being under pressure is not a big thing to me. You know, I played in some big time games and, you know, I haven't been here for almost a week, you know, and I got thrown in and I was excited just for that opportunity because I never knew when another opportunity was going to come upon me. So that opportunity, I made the best of it. You know, I checked the ball down. I took what the defense gave me. I recognized the defense and I had fun out there.
So a preseason game in the CFL isn't that big a deal then? You weren't nervous going up there?
Actually, it's a big deal, but, you know, as being a quarterback, you have to be calm, cool, and collective, you know, poise in the pocket. And that's the thing, you know. I felt like if I was too nervous or too excited, you know, things wouldn't have went my way. So just being calm and studying the playbook, you know, going back and, you know, doing the little things. I'm just out here just practicing reads and, you know, if the half do this way or go this way or the back or go this way, what I'm going to do with the football. So it wasn't that big, you know. It wasn't that big to me. Like I said, I played some big games. So, you know, it was just another opportunity for me to showcase my talent.
Sounded like just a walk in the park for you then.
Well, yes, sir. That's what I do. You know, after practice, I come out and I get extra reps by myself. You know, just the mental side of the football game and just to try to be great. You know, I'm trying to earn a spot on this football team and, you know, best way I can, you know, just to keep getting the reps, you know, mental reps. If I don't get them in practice, you know, get them myself. You know, if just go through what I need to go through to try to get better and keep performing at a high level so, you know, I can have a spot on this team, football team.
Is it tough to impress the coaches when there are limited reps to go around?
It is, but, you know, when you get that chance, you have to
use that to the best of your ability. You know, it doesn't matter if it's, you know, if the first team gets 6 reps and second team get 4 and then third team get 4 and then the fourth guy get 2. You know, make the best of those 2, and that's what I'm doing. You know, every chance I get, I make the best of those reps, you know. And if you mess up, you know, that's your chance. You know, a chance that you're out of luck. So I just try to make the best of my ability, have fun with the game, and just keep a smile on my face. You know, one thing I learned when I was in Green Bay, you know, I wasn't getting many reps, and it just dwelled on me. You know, when I came out and I got my opportunity, my performance didn't show. But I was so happy on the sideline just to be on Rider Nation, you know, Saturday's game, watching Brandon, watching Brian, you know, just being around KG and Vince. You know, it's a dream come true.
Chris Jones has noticed you've been doing some extra reps after practice. Have you always done that, and why do you?
I have never done it, but I feel like, you know, being behind an 8-ball, you have to catch up somehow, you know, studying all the time. But, you know, you got to see it and visual it and just try to put yourself in the situation, you know. And that's the thing. That's what's been helping me out, and I continue to do that each day, you know. So, I mean, if it's helping me get my game better, understand the playbook more and know where everybody's going to be and know where formations, you know, I'm willing to do it, you know. And like I say, Brandon been helping me a lot, and he's a great guy. KG's been helping me out a lot. You know, the quarterback guys have been helping me out tremendously. And I just come out here and I practice. You know, I come out here on like a Sunday night around 9 o'clock when nobody's here, you know, just to not try to show that everybody I'm out here, you know, just to do a me thing or try to show everybody else. It's just something I want to do to get better, to help myself progress in this offense since I've been behind.
What do you know about Darian Durant?
I know a lot. I know I broke all his records at UNC, one thing. But, well, I know he's a great character. He's a competitive. One of the hardest working person I've been around, you know. And he took a lot of beatings, and he was a tough guy. You know, he's a tough cookie. And that's what Coach Shoot, who recruited me, used to tell me, man, you're a tough cookie, just like Darian Durant, you know, DD. So, you know, when I got to tell him that I got the opportunity to sign with this team, you know, he was extremely excited for me. And I was excited for myself, you know, to follow in his footsteps again. And I told him, if I get another opportunity, I'm breaking some more records.
He's a pretty big deal down there, he tells us.
Yes,
is that true?
That is true. You know, a lot of people love Darian Durant, honestly, you know. And I don't know if my name still holds more weight than Durant, you know. Breaking all his records, I still think Darian Durant is probably like the man down there south.
How do you like that?
That's awesome. Hey, man, you're preceded by somebody. I know that. And you also are going to set the trail for someone else. So it's nice to hear somebody that knows about Darian Durant's accomplishments, but it's also nice to hear a young kid that seems to get it, seems to understand that there's – and quarterbacks, I think, have the best opportunity, or the ones that make it to this level for even an opportunity. They get it, right? They get it that there's going to be some – I always remember that story about Peyton Manning, that Peyton Manning in Tennessee, he would have the quarterback meeting, and they would sit there, they'd go through what they needed to go through, and then the meeting would be done. He'd get up and walk out with the rest of the group, and as soon as they turned the corner, he'd turn around and go back into the meeting room and spend 24 more minutes or whatever. He spent an hour, 2 hours, 3 hours in that meeting room just to say he was getting more done. He was right. So he sounds like a guy who's willing to put in the work and do the extra things, and it was nice to hear him. That's odd at that young age for a quarterback to say, or even a young player to say, well, it didn't matter. Even if it was going to be one rep and it was a handoff, they were going to see that I understood how to hand the ball off and I was going to finish my run. Things like that. It's good to hear that type of guy talk that way, because it shows character and it shows the will to win, and it shows that somewhere in there is the leadership that it takes to be a successful quarterback.
And when Darian Durant hears this quote, and he might have already,
I'm about to text it to him.
He'll just smile. Wow. He'll just smile. It won't make him mad at all. We got to take a timeout. The voice of the Blades, Les Lazarus, coming up. Your questions and comments on the 2017 Riders are coming together, folks. Let us know. Prairie Mobile text line 551-CKRM, 551-2576, or the Pilsner Twitter feed, at Rod Peterson. Hit us up here in Saskatoon. We'll be right back on Rider Radio 620 CKRM and the CKRM app. RMP Sports Cage Sports Ticker. The Toronto Blue Jays are on the field beginning a two-game series against the Tampa Bay Rays at Rogers Center. Righty Marco Estrada is on the hill for the Jays. He's 4-4 on the season. Tampa countering with Jake Odorizzi. It is scoreless in the top of the third inning. The Blue Jays could have another Clemens in their organization soon. Toronto selected first baseman Casey Clemens, son of Roger Clemens, in the eighth round of the Major League Baseball draft today. The younger Clemens was picked 249th overall out of the University of Texas at Austin. Jose Martinez hit a pair of solo homers, and the St. Louis Cardinals beat the Milwaukee Brewers 6-0 in the opener of a day-night doubleheader today. Martinez connected in the fifth and eighth innings for his first multi-homer game. He added a sac fly in the sixth inning. The Buffalo Sabres have re-signed goalie Linus Ullmark to a two-year, $1.5 million contract extension. Ullmark completed the final year of his rookie contract and was eligible to become a restricted free agent next month. That's the RMP SportsCade Sports Ticker, Regina Motor Products, home of no car crap BS. Luke with me here in Saskatoon. Voice of the Blades, Les Lazarus, coming up in Hour 3 with his Rider opinions after being at the game Saturday against Winnipeg. We do the CFL report daily for the brothers and sisters of IBEW Local 2067, woven into the fabric of Saskatchewan. Luke, you had a quarterback story out of Montreal to pass along. Josh Freeman?
Oh, yeah. Josh Freeman worked out for the Montreal Alouettes today. I saw that on my timeline. Former Tampa Bay Buccaneer and he's a pretty high draft pick, as a matter of fact. Thought that was interesting because Josh Freeman is huge. He's a really big cat, and he has a ton of potential, or had a ton of potential in the NFL. Never really panned out for him in any situation that he did have. So it'll be interesting there. Obviously, you know that they have some quarterbacks. I don't think, from reading some of the things that came out of Montreal about their last competition that doubles didn't play in, I don't think any quarterback blew anybody away for that. For what it's worth. So
actually, they were really bad.
Yeah, well, here's the problem, though. I mean, you never really know the source you're reading at. You never really know what perspective they're speaking from, right? You know, you might be reading something that's written by a guy who just doesn't like the squad right now. You know what I mean? So I never know. So I always try to take the information that I'm giving with a grain of salt. But, yeah, it doesn't sound like too many guys blew anybody away.
Well, I can just look at the stat sheet of what Montreal did against the Argos last week.
Even
it'd make you puke if you were
even that though,
Jacques Chatelain.
The problem is, the stats are stats, right? But a lot of the times, for instance, let's say a quarterback goes 8-for-21, right? 8-for-21 for 60 yards. Terrible game. But what if he was getting hit every single down by a defensive lineman? Because the line was. What if his receivers literally dropped every single ball that were thrown? You know what I mean?
But that's my point. In that game, they had two different quarterbacks throw pick sixes.
Yeah, so nobody picked it. So, yeah. So it's hard. Basically, what you're saying is it's hard to make an excuse for
that.
There you go.
Brendan in Regina writes in on the Prairie Mobile text line. He says, "Hey, guys, thanks for the incredible coverage this camp. Great job. Luke is a welcome addition to game day. And what the heck is going on with Judge?" Thanks again from Brendan. I think when Cameron Judge does show up, and he's finishing his exams at UCLA.
How long are these exams taking?
Well,
actually, UCLA is a good school. They might be a different process.
It is a different.
I went to Michigan State University, and I'm not going to brag. Let's just put it that way. I'm not going to brag about the academic prowess of my university. I do know for a fact UCLA, Stanford, those are schools. Now you got to have a high SAT to get in those schools.
Well, when Cameron Judge shows up, and we believe he will because he's already agreed to a contract, I think he might just set everything on its ear defensively. And we can talk about that next hour.
You would hope so, yeah.
I think that he will. I think he's going to upset the apple cart on defense in a really good way because of his talent, his nationality, which is Canadian for the Canadian Football League. And actually, let's get into that next hour because Chris Jones addressed that this week. Their wealth of Canadian talent at the linebacker position is another problem for them. but it's a great problem to have. Mm. We'll talk about that and a lot of other things coming back after the news at the top of the hour, a presentation of our good friends at Westrum Lumber. The Sports Cage is brought to you by Saskatchewan Lotteries, live from Griffith Stadium in Saskatoon on 620 CKRM and the CKRM app.
Feel it coming in the air. Yeah. And the screams from everywhere. Yeah. I'm addicted to.
Good evening, Saskatchewan. Welcome to the Sports Cage, coming at you live from Griffith Stadium in Saskatoon on the coolest day of rider training camp. And it happens to be on day 17. No rain today. Spit a little bit over at SMF Field, the home of the Hilltops. But they say it's going to be a heavy, heavy rain, I think, hitting tonight and carrying through tomorrow. That'll keep the farmers in the area very, very happy. But riders may be kept off the field tomorrow, which would be the final workout here on the field in Saskatoon. Full practice, because I believe there will be a walkthrough on Thursday morning, and the team will head to Vancouver Thursday afternoon. And Friday night, wrap up the preseason against the BC Lions in a massive, massive game with implications on the roster. It's they're going to be the last chance to play your way on or off this football team comes this Friday night. And by the way, if you're a fan of the Rough Riders, today is your lucky day. Not only do you have the Sports Cage on your radio right now, the Luke and Rod podcast is up and available for download right now at rodpeterson.com. And coming up at 7 o'clock, province-wide on Access tonight, we'll be live from Rider Training Camp Week 3 with Darren DuPont and I hosting the show on Access. And we'll be joined by, who are we going to hear from? Kevin Glenn, Anthony Allen, Chris Jones, the leader post, Murray McCormick, your buddy.
Murray, I wonder what he's going to talk about.
Tuesdays is like the buffet of Rider news around here, at least this week. So that's coming up 7 o'clock tonight. And if Shaw is your cable carrier, for those living in Moose Jaw, Swift Current, Prince Albert, Saskatoon, that'll air Wednesday night at 7. But anyways, the season is here. There's so much to delve into, so much news to get to. And, Luke, we're just having a great time
Up
here with this football team.
Yeah, it's been exciting. It's it truly is. Every single year is so different from the year before. And it's always a privilege to sit out here and watch these guys grind it out and watch these guys compete. And at the end of the day, you know, being going through that process, for instance, today I felt like sleeping in today. And as soon as I finished that thought, like, man, you should sleep in and turn up after a stretch, right away I remembered how it feels to be involved in that grind and how there is no – and I got so mad at myself. Because I was like, it doesn't matter if you're on the other side of the fence. You still got to keep that mentality. Get up. So it was at practice, before stretch, ready to roll. It's just been awesome watching these guys because, really, it's whatever the storyline is, whatever the end result is this year, we've been able to sit and watch that foundation take shape. So if it's good or bad at the end of the year, it was still awesome to be here where it all started out.
Yeah, but what I like about this group is it's a positive vibe around the team.
And because there's a core here now.
Yeah, we've been saying that since early on, and it's just grown.
They brought the right guys in the room. The character's increased. And, yeah, it's one of those things where, hey, this group has a core now. It has guys they know they can lean on for leadership. So much different from last year. Because everybody was just trying to find their way. Everybody was trying to find and carve. That's the thing. People were trying to find and carve out their own identities last year. This year, this team is carving out their identity. This 2017 Saskatchewan Rough, you can see it in the way they're approaching practice. For instance, on defense, stressing the finish to the rock, stressing setting the edge, stressing turnover, scooping the ball, whether it's in the corner of the end zone or it's in the stands. Go get the ball. They're forming identity. They couldn't do that last year because they needed to field the team. This year, there's a culture, and they're forming, and it's coming slowly but surely. That identity is getting established.
Just before we play today's version of the Reliance McKenzie Plumbing and Heating and the Rider Store Father's Day Contest through CKRM on day 17 today. Luke, what were your takeaways individually. Just off the top of my head, if I look at my notepad here, no Rob Bagg, no Brendan Labatt, no Josiah St. John. Coach Jones saying none of those are serious. It was a padded practice today, and it was a very physical practice. Maybe I'll start there.
Yeah, I like the way they started out practice. They lined everybody up 1 yard across the line of scrimmage from another guy, and your job was just to knock that guy off and back. And it was man-on-man, mano-a-mano, and they've done that consistently here during camp is flipped the way they find to compete, because you can't just do the same drill over and over again, right? You can't just come out and have competition period be the same. It can't just always be first and 10. It's right. So they've done a good job of finding ways and creative ways to get the guys to compete. I call that drill the McKenna-Henny special right now, because it's all about just beating the guy in front of you.
Do you want to talk about what Mac Henry did in the preseason game?
Well, Mac Henry did what he's supposed to do. Mac Henry went and caused havoc, and Mac Henry ran over guys. I mean, that's what you know you're going to get. We talked about this yesterday. You know Mac Henry's got all the ability in the world to absolutely embarrass a guy and just run through him. He has zero fear. Doesn't care about his body, zero fear, and he has that will and that urge in him to approach things on the football field with violence. With McKenna Henry, you got to teach him the technique involved in the game. You got to show him the nuances. You got to show him that eventually these offensive linemen in this league will use your tenacity against you if you don't approach it with some sort of technique. So everybody's got a battle. Everybody's got something they need to work on individually, because it all creates a better foundation for this team moving forward.
Let's play the Father's Day contest. Father's Day coming up this Sunday. And CKRM, the Ryder Store and Reliance McKenzie Plumbing and Heating, can make Father's Day an extra special day for your dad with the CKRM Father's Day New Mosaic Stadium backstage tour with me. The prize package includes a tour of the new stadium and lunch with myself for you and your dad, a $200 gift certificate to the Ryder Store in New Mosaic Stadium. Plus, Dad gets a limited edition 4x4 stainless steel table with etched Ryder logo from the Harvard Broadcasting Green and White Lounge in Taylor Field. Be the fourth caller through on the toll-free line right now. 1-866-767-0620. Caller 4 right now, 1-866-767-0620 for today's entrant. To the text line from Ron and Deb at Pigeon Lake, Prairie Mobile text line. She says, might not get that great-sounding broadcast here in Alberta. Is it online anywhere? They're regarding Friday night's broadcast, I guess, from the Riders and the Lions in Vancouver. It's online in a lot of places. 620CKRM.com. Click on Listen Live. If you have the Ryder app on your phone, if you don't, I would say, what's taking you so long? Just click on Radio right on the front page of the Ryder app when it comes up. Click on Radio and you get CKRM 24 hours a day. So you get not only the Sports Cage, but the Ryder games too. And the CKRM app, we've been promoting it in and out of every break since the start of March. On the Sports Cage here. So download the apps to your phones or go to the worldwide interweb. There's no reason. There's no reason not to be able to get the Ryder games anymore online. Brenda from Saskatoon, she says, I just checked the TV listing, and In the Huddle comes on at 6 o'clock in Saskatoon on Wednesday. Thank you, Brenda in Saskatoon. My apologies. I'm glad we caught that 24 hours early. So it's not 7 o'clock on Shaw. It's 6 o'clock Wednesdays on Shaw across this province in the huddle, which is always a great show.
That's you and Darren DuPont.
Yes.
Up-and-coming broadcaster in this province.
I love it. Somebody asked him this week, Darren DuPont, who do you work for? He goes, I work for me.
It's probably the best way, I think, to succeed in this business with the multiple platforms and the way things are changing. I think it behooves guys to represent themselves individually until something really sweet comes up.
And that's what Darren DuPont's doing. He hosts this show with me while in Saskatoon. Back home, of course, it's Marshall Hamilton, and Darren does features for us. But, yeah, it is Darren DuPont. And, by the way, the gentleman wrote in earlier saying, incredible camp coverage. I really wish we had these devices available when I was a Rider fan, way back to that Don Matthews era that we talked about, and before that, up until when I got into the media, because I would have loved a show like this, sitting on the farm, going around the field on the tractor a million times,
yeah.
Something, because we didn't have anything like the sports cage back then. It's absolutely awesome. But you're doing great work over Riderville.com, and you interviewed Bakari Grant today, who, quite frankly... a pleasant surprise in camp for me, he is. Maybe not anybody else.
No.
But I was talking to the guys in Hamilton today about Bakari, and they loved him in Hamilton.
Yeah, that's when I first met Bakari.
He's bigger than I thought. He's faster than I thought. He has better hands than I thought. And he's a great leader from what I can see.
Well, you're getting the more mature version. You're getting the guy that's been in a couple of squads now. You're getting the guy that's been the guy, and he's been part of a rotation. So, it's funny, I asked him the day me and him were talking, and I just said, hey, it's got to feel nice to be in a dressing room and with some familiar faces like KG and Pete. And also, he played with guys like Edom when Edom was in Hamilton. And he said, yeah, you know what? It also makes you feel old. You know what I mean?
Really?
But, hey, that's the maturation process. It's good to see a guy that's still playing at a high level. And, again, he's been the most consistent receiver at camp, period.
I don't know. Because you know that come Friday night or on the weekend, and maybe when we do the next Luke and Rod podcast, we'll award the 2017 Terrence Nunn.
We got to start tabulating votes now, then, because there's a couple candidates I got in mind.
Well, I had a coach come up to me late last week and said, oh, the coaches are saying, what's this Terrence Nunn award about? And I don't even want to know how they heard about it, if they're reading my website or listening to this show, because frankly, I wish they wouldn't. You know,
I'm all in. I'm about to let's take some. Yeah, they should tweet you.
They're all over it. Can we go and get a trophy made that says Terrence Nunn Award on it and have little plaques each year? You know, Jeff Knox Jr.'s name would be on it.
Yep.
Which is he's with the Buccaneers.
But so would what's his face's name too?
Terrence Nunn.
Yeah.
It's not an insult, or should we just can the award?
No, it is. You know what?
It's become a thing.
It isn't an insult because Terrence Nunn, it's unfortunate, didn't work out for him here, but.
He was the best player in training camp. That's hence.
Well, let's do it. Let's start tabulating votes. Let's take nominations.
Well, it's kind of you and me.
I know. Well, we can still take the nominations to consider. It's like some awards. Literally know who they're going to give the award to, but they still have to put awards out there at the nomination.
Fair enough.
So they'll be like, okay, we're selecting this guy, but we still got to let the public know that we're accepting nominations. And they literally make sure that the nomination for the guy that they want to get the award gets in.
It's a thing.
Oh, it's a thing.
It's the TNA, the Terrence Nunn Award.
Let's go. 2017 TNA goes to. We'll present it in Boston Pizza. We'll do like a whole ceremony.
Because Boston Pizza giving us 50% off our tab again last night. We challenge all Saskatchewan Boston Pizzas to continue to do that. Although Marco Ricci out in Boston Pizza usually gives me 100% off my tab.
That's hard to beat. Marco Ricci, a staple in Saskatchewan minor league football.
I just want to clarify that. And by the way, the coaches don't think it's an insult either. Like that's a word.
If you're the best player in camp, that's sweet.
Yes. That's the whole idea.
Yeah.
That's the whole idea. So we can bring some fan participation in after watching Friday night's game because the games are a huge part of who's going to win this thing.
Yep.
Right? Not just who's been the biggest practice player. Before we break, Buster Riles, do you want to tell me who the contest winner was today? Got it. Bryce Lawson of Cadet, Saskatchewan. Thank you, Bryce Lawson, for listening in. And you have entered your dad into the CKRM Reliance McKenzie Plumbing and Heating and the Rider Store Father's Day Contest. You are today's entrant. And also a big shout-out to Craig Stein out in Yorkton. He won a pair of tickets on SaskTel Pick the Score today on today's show. We're making winners all across the province today.
All over. Making friends.
We're going to take a timeout. When we come back, the voice of the Saskatoon Blades, Les Lazaruk, will give us his perspective on the green and white going into Friday's game in Vancouver. Lester was down at New Mosaic Stadium last Saturday night checking out the Riders and the Bombers. We'll get his take when we return, maybe his vote for the Terrence Nunn Award winner in 2017. We're brought to you by Saskatchewan Lotteries in the Sports Cage today, the fundraiser for over 12,000 sport, culture, and recreation groups. We'll return to Griffiths in a moment on 620 CKRM and the CKRM app.
It is week three of Saskatchewan Rough Riders Training Camp 2017, presented by Coors Light. And it's been since week one. I want to say one of the earliest days I had the voice of the Blades, the godfather of Saskatoon media here, Les Lazarek on the air with me. So here we are in week three, Les. The sun's gone out away, yes, and the mosquitoes have showed up.
Holy smokes. They ever. This is crazy. It's a good thing we don't have video on this because, my God.
It's a cloud.
It is a cloud. It's awful. My goodness. Anyway, yeah, I know. And it's week three. We've almost gotten through training camp. The players are the happiest about that. Not necessarily the media or the coaches, but the players are definitely the happiest about that. And when it cools off, they actually like it even more. They hate, especially the linemen, they hate those hot days. So today and whatever else is coming, I mean, rain on Wednesday, I don't know how good that's going to be, but Tuesday's day was a nice day for training camp. We're almost done. We're just about in, we're in the home stretch of getting ready for the start of the 2017 regular season, and I, for one, cannot wait.
Well, you were at the game Saturday night. I didn't know that you were going down there. So you've hopefully heard my impressions or read them or whatever. I was blown away.
I have, yes.
How about you?
I was absolutely blown away. I took all kinds of pictures and put them up on Twitter, and a lot of people were curious about it and very intrigued and impressed by what they saw at Mosaic Stadium. I like my seats. We're in section 122, so I'm in the northwest corner, Rod, where I was on that particular night. It was tough to see the south end, 17 rows up, and I found myself watching the scoreboard a lot more. At halftime, we went up to visit some folks that we knew that were in section 522. I'll tell you what, because of the way that building is constructed and the seats are, it's so steep going up, and you've got overhangs with the various decks. The higher up you are, maybe the better off you are. And maybe that's the broadcaster in me liking that, because you get to survey the whole thing. But I had no problem from the 522 section in this northwest corner again, seeing the entire field and seeing how things developed. So I'm really impressed. I mean, the two scoreboards are phenomenal. You're clear. You can't miss what's up on there. I think the game day presentation was outstanding. The seats on the back, the backs and the seats were great. The cup holders are there. So It's 1,000% improvement, dare I say, over old Taylor Field, which was a wonderful place, a shrine, as I've heard you call it. But this new shrine is something that you have to see.
Yeah, it was from one shrine to another. Yeah. But Les, you've traveled all around this continent, as have I, mm-hmm, been in some big-time stadiums. I'm putting that right up against all of them.
Absolutely, absolutely. I've been to most of the stadiums in the CFL, and it blows all of them away, including Winnipeg, my hometown. Investors Group Field is a gorgeous facility, and it is better than a lot of them. But this one, I think, is even a step higher than IGF, and definitely better than most everything else that is around in the Canadian Football League. And it kind of puts the rest of the league on notice that you may have to do something about that to compete and to keep up. But I don't know that anybody really wants to do that. Certainly they don't seem to want to do that in Calgary.
No, yeah. And as if they don't dislike us enough already, now they have another reason because of our stadium envy. But that's their problem.
That's right.
Not ours. But the game, Les, I tell people what I think, and I thought we had a good showing the other night. A good football team's on being brewed here.
The starters, the ones, and I know Winnipeg will say, well, we missed some guys. Hey, the Riders aren't exactly full of starters either. They had their people missing in places as well. I was really impressed with how the Riders starters held up against the Blue Bombers starters. I thought the defense did an outstanding job of taking away a lot of what Matt Nichols wanted to do in Nichols' first quarter and a half of play. And to tell the truth, I was really surprised that Nichols played that much. Yeah. But I think it was on Mike O'Shea. He wanted to really see what his quarterback could do and get some success, and they really didn't accomplish all that much in that respect. It wasn't until the fourth quarter when Dan Lefevre came on, and all of a sudden, where's that guy been? I mean, Lefevre's been okay in the CFL, but he certainly wasn't like that for the most part in his career. So what I saw of the Rider defense in the first half, the first three quarters, was really, really encouraging. What I saw out of their offensive line being able to give time to Brandon Bridge and Brian Bennett as the quarterbacks was really encouraging. The running backs being able to actually carry the ball and make some positive yardage was really encouraging, especially what I saw out of Cameron Marshall. Anthony Allen, of course, is going to be a guy that is going to have to show what he can do as a blocking back and being able to catch balls out of the backfield. But that's a tremendous battle there right now between those two imports for the starting running back job as well.
Yeah, you know, when you talk about the them leaving Nichols in so long. It's been my history watching the Riders that they leave that starter in until he has some success. I think that's what O'Shea was trying to do when you said that.
Well, absolutely.
And he wasn't having it.
No, he wasn't having it. And I think, again, the Riders got some pressure up the field and got into his face. They were able to take away some of the short passes that he likes to utilize. And they made his running back really the only guy that really could be counted on to catch the football. They did an excellent job downfield with their secondary, and I know they went eventually to just a straight man-to-man defense for most of the game, but they were able to be somewhat successful with the zone and confuse Nichols with some of their coverages in the early stages, and I thought that was really encouraging again to see from out of the Rider defense.
I didn't have a chance to ask Jones this today, maybe tomorrow, but as far as how he feels about his quarterbacks, I'm a lot more comfortable. We knew what we had in Kevin Glenn, but Bridge showed so well than waiting for Bennett to get back to form, because he seems to have lost his mojo a bit.
Well, when you go to throw your first pass and it falls out of your hand and you have to end up falling on it, boy, that's a tough start. And that'll rattle anybody's confidence. I don't care whether you're Brian Bennett or whether you're an experienced CFL quarterback. That's going to have that's going to be in the back of your mind. So Bennett never really did recover from that in the game on Saturday. Brandon Bridge really impressed me, and I was really happy to see him do as well as he did, because now I feel a lot better that in case Kevin Glenn goes down, that there is somebody that you can turn to as the backup quarterback that can go in and lead the offense and create some points on the board. I mean, Brandon Bridge was out there for, 19 out of the 25 points. That's great, because he only played, two quarters of the game? That's outstanding. If you can average 20 to 25 points a game for 60 minutes, that's great. Being able to do 19 points in 30, that's pretty darn good as well. And I think that's encouraging for, that's a word I'm starting to use a lot, encouraging. But hey, considering they were 5-13 last year, Rod, encouraging is something that you want to be able to hear if you're a Rider fan or member of Rider Nation.
Yeah. And last one for Les Lazarek, the voice of the Blades, going to BC on Friday night to wrap up the preseason. You talked to Chris Jones. I heard you today about the lack of enough preseason games. They got a lot of tough decisions with not a lot of time or tools to make them.
Yeah, it's tough. The old days, 30 years ago, he wasn't aware of it, but I remember it back in the 80s watching the Blue Bomber training camp. There were 4 preseason games, 2 home and 2 away, and then only 16 regular season games. And of course, the change was made because who wanted to go watch preseason games? It made the onus on coaches to be able to do the evaluations as quickly as they can, and they understand that they're going to make mistakes because there's no way that they can make all the correct decisions based on just 2 games. And in fact, a lot of your first 2 regular season games were essentially like preseason games, except that those first 2 games count in the standings and you really can't have the mistakes. So Chris Jones has a big chore in front of him in order to figure out which 42 guys should be on the field, which kickers should be on the roster for game number 1. Which quarterback should be? Which running back is going to start? All the guys along the defensive line, what kind of rotations are we going to see there? Who's going to be the linebacking core? Are we going to have guys back from injury like Chad Owens? Like, is Brendan Labatt going to be healthy enough to play to start the regular season? All those questions. And if they aren't, if there's some of those things that don't happen, then who fills in and who is ready to be a Canadian Football League player come week 1 with limited reps, and especially in game situations?
Well, Les, I always enjoy our time together. Thanks for being such a gracious host, and we'll see you well before next year, but enjoy this Rider season.
Yeah, I will, Rod, and I hope to be able to swing by and actually be up in the press box at some point to visit you guys during the course of the regular season this year.
Open invitation. Folks, you have been listening to the Sports Cage on 620 CKRM and the CKRM app.